Good morning. Thanks for braving the cold weather, coming to church this morning. It's good to see everyone. Hopefully you brought your Bibles. You have your Bibles with you? Very good, very good. Open to the book of Colossians. We are in chapter 3. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are walking through the book of Colossians. And we are an expository preaching church, and so we're just going to the next verse or the next few verses, and so we are in the middle, or almost through the middle, of chapter 3. So I have a very long title for you. I couldn't find a good way to scale it down, so you have to kind of bear with this title. We'll give you plenty of time to write it down. But the idea, we're in verse 11 this morning, just one verse, but the title of the sermon is Putting on the New Self Brings About Radical Change Within Our Relationships. That's long, I know, but If I left some words out, it just wouldn't make as much sense. So putting on the new self that God has called us to do, our new identity in Christ, brings about radical change within our relationships. And I could have even added more, and also in the church. Okay, so individual relationships, but also within the church. But we're going to get to all that in just a second. This entire passage in chapter 3, Paul is reminding the church what it means to be a new creation in Christ, what it means to put on the new self. Paul has talked about this in other letters in the New Testament. Two of the most famous verses emphasizing this truth are found in 2 Corinthians and Galatians, so I'm going to read those to you right now. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Okay, so most Christians memorize that verse at some point in their life. Our old nature has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Christ in us, when salvation takes place, when we respond in that faith that he gives us as he calls to us, we are given a new heart. We're given a new identity. We are given a new self. We are made into a new creation because of Christ in us. Galatians 2:20, Paul again sums this up in this way. He says, I, Paul, have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So again, this idea of getting this new life in Christ. Christ changes our hearts. Now, we also know that we continue to battle our old self, and that's what is confusing sometimes to us and something that we feel a lot of guilt about and we struggle with as we continue to battle our old nature. Paul then spends a big amount of time in this passage in chapter 3 getting very specific in some of those sins that we battle, some of those sins that we must put to death. Now, we have to understand that this list that we have just walked through over the last 2 or 3 weeks is not an exhaustive list of sins. But what I believe that Paul is doing here is that he is dealing with those sins that are the sins that we battle every day in our minds and our actions, that we just continually have to battle. And as Josh put it a couple of weeks ago, I was glad to hear that, and just reminding that he, nor I, nor Jimmy, who preached last week, none of us have this all together yet. We're walking this just like you. Even though we have the word reverend in front of our name, or pastor, or that we have degrees or master's degrees, we are still battling these same sins. Paul obviously was too. Paul, who, Paul, you know, meets Jesus face to face on the road to Damascus. His life has changed, and then he goes and he studies and prepares, and then God or Christ calls him to go preach to the nations, the Gentiles, and he starts churches and he goes from town to town and he's writing. God uses him. The Holy Spirit uses him to write Scripture, and yet he still admits, I am the chief of all sinners. He is quoted as saying, why do I do the things that I know I shouldn't do? Why do I not do the things that I know I should? So we know we're still battling. And so he has these lists in the Bible, but I believe because these are the ones that we just continually to strive and struggle and battle with every day. Paul is reminding the church through this entire passage and throughout this letter that it is in Christ that we are a new creation, because of Christ in us, because Christ now lives in us. And we need to remember, as the body of Christ, we need to remember as individual Christians that because of Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have, I have, we have everything we need to overcome our old nature. It doesn't mean it's not a battle. It doesn't mean we have to fight. It doesn't mean we have to have discipline, and we have to pray, and we have to study God's word and meet with each other to battle and fight and pray for each other. It doesn't mean we need to stop coming together and studying God's word together and worshiping. But in Christ, we have everything we need to overcome our old nature. We have his victory in us over sin. That's what we need to remember. We have everything we need to fight our old nature, our old self. Christ now lives in us, and we have what we need because Christ in us has put to death what is earthly in us. We must put to death what is earthly in us. As Colossians 3:10 states, as Jimmy talked about last week, if you just look up there, Colossians 3:10, and we have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. That's what was reminded to us last week, that we are to put on the new self, which is after the image of its creator. What does the new self look like? As we looked at last week, the new self is a reflection after the image of its creator. Our new life in Christ should reflect Jesus. Let me repeat that. Our new life in Christ should reflect Jesus. Now, what Jimmy reminded us of last week is that we often don't like to look at the image of Christ. We would rather compare ourselves to others who think that we think are worse than us, that do things worse than us. We would rather not be focused on Jesus and the image of Christ that we are to reflect, but we would rather look at others and say, well, I'm not so bad. I'm not as bad as that person. But that's not what Christ has called us to. He is saying, focus on me, the image of Christ, the reflection of Christ. So, we've come out of this passage as he's telling us these things that we are to put to death in our old nature, what is earthly in us, and he gives us these lists that we've walked through. And so we're making this shift in chapter 3, and we're going to be moving from this focus of putting to death our old nature, and then Paul is going to help us know what we are to put on in our new life in Christ. But before we get there, before we get to verse 12, as we are to put on these things that Paul is reminding us, we have this verse 11 that is stuck right in between. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. This verse 11 is powerful because I believe Paul, right here in the midst of this chapter, is reminding Christians that when Christ truly changes our life, when he gives us this new heart, the renewal of our lives, the renewal in us, is so radical that it changes all human relationships within our lives. It changes everything about how we interact with people, and it changes everything that we are as the church and how we interact with our community and with other believers. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So I'm going to read chapter 3, verse 11, pray. We're going to get into this. And I believe this will be encouraging. I also believe it will be convicting. And I believe that we all need to understand and hear what God's truth says to us this morning. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much that we have the freedom to come here and open your word to worship and praise you for who you are. I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. I pray for those that are listening online. I pray that this truth would penetrate their hearts. I pray that the gospel would go out, that your truth would be made known, that you would call sinners to salvation. God, speak to us this morning as we look at this verse 11. I pray that the Holy Spirit would help us to understand it, that it would lead us to repentance. God, thank you for your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Look at verse 11. This is what it says. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, in this last phrase, but Christ is all and in all. I'm going to read that again. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. You see, sin, our old nature, what it does, it brings prejudice to our hearts. And in verse 11, Paul is showing us four types of barriers of prejudices that we must fight against in our old nature, that we must put to death. But here's the good news. Here's the great news about Christ in us. The good news is this. The new self lived out in Christ brings the destruction of these man-made barriers and sinful prejudices within the body of Christ. Let me repeat that. When we put on the new self, when Christ is in us, the new self lived out, as we live out Christ in us, it will bring destruction to these man-made barriers, to these sinful prejudices within our lives, our relationships, but also within the body of Christ. So we're going to look at these four different barriers. So if you're taking notes, you'll get to write on all four of these, and you're going to see how they affect us and how they still affect us today, how they affected the church from the beginning. Because guess what? These have always been around, and we're still dealing with them today. They've always been in the church. So let's look at the first one. New life in Christ brings destruction to racial barriers. New life in Christ brings about destruction to racial barriers. So when Christ lives in us, and we begin to truly put on our new self, and put away and put to death the earthly things in us, our old nature, it will bring destruction to the racial barriers in our lives and within the church. And so where we see this first barrier, we see it right at the beginning of verse 11. Here there is not Greek and Jew. Okay, that tells us that here's that first prejudice, that first barrier, that first man-made barrier. And that is a racial barrier. In Christ, in the church, in the body of Christ, there is now not Greek and Jew. Now, what did this mean to the early church as Paul is writing this? What does this mean for us in the current church as we are right here in 2020? This phrase that Paul is using, this phrase is a reference, this phrase of not Greek and Jew is a reference to the sinful act of racial prejudice. Our old nature, our sinful heart, it brings about this type of prejudice within human relationships. It's always been around. And as we live out Christ, it will bring destruction to this. Now, if we as believers are being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator, as verse 10 stated, this type of prejudice, this type of barrier, we understand it has no place within the body of Christ. No place within the body of Christ. This type of prejudice, this racial barrier that has been created because of sin, what it does, it looks at the color of someone's skin. It looks at where they might be from in the world. And what it does is this sin in our heart makes us think that we are somehow better than them, that we are somehow more superior than them. That's the sin. That's what the sin is doing in our hearts. This type of barrier, this sin of our old nature, has been present in the church for thousands of years and was present in the early churches in the New Testament as well. I mean, right from the beginning, they were struggling with these things. Right from the beginning. It is not something new. And you see, a new life in Christ not only has major implications for the individual as we live out Christ in our individual lives, but it has major implications for the church as well. Because we need to understand that God has united all believers in Christ Jesus. God has united all believers in Christ Jesus. Christ is all and in all. But when the early church began, the gospel began to spread through the world to the Gentiles, those who were not Jews, and because of this, there was much racial tension. You see, the Jews hated the Gentiles, which was just everybody else that wasn't a Jew. They had nothing to do with each other. They wouldn't eat a meal cooked by a Gentile. They had so much disdain for the Gentiles, those who were not like them, those who were not Jews, that when Jewish Christians, we're talking about Jewish Christians, when they returned home to Israel, they would literally shake the dust off their feet because they wanted to get out of where they had been walking. Now, thankfully, none of this racial sin ever affected the apostles who were the leaders of the church. That was sarcasm, okay? I know it's hard to hear that sometimes. The apostles were dealing with this too. You remember Peter? Peter had to have a dream given to him saying, it's okay to eat what they eat. It's okay. They were struggling with it. These were the leaders of the church. These were who Christ called to start the New Testament church. It's been here for a long time. But in Christ, this type of racial prejudice, this racial barrier, is destroyed. With a new heart, this type of sin is destroyed. It should be destroyed. We see that in Galatians 3:28. Write this reference down. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Key word is all, right? You are all, not just some of you, not just certain types of people, but all who come to Christ, all one in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:15-16. This is huge. This is powerful. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, Jews, Gentiles, coming together, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing hostility. That's a verse worth memorizing, or two verses, right? As we deal with what racial prejudice is, as we deal with what all this is going on, Ephesians 2:15-16, he is making one new man. There is no longer just Jews. It's he's bringing everybody in. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in these ordinances, he might create in himself one new man in place of the two. Therefore making peace, killing off hostility. This is the power of the cross. This is the power of the gospel. And when Christ is lived out in us, it begins to break down those sins of prejudice. It breaks down those barriers. It literally will destroy them if we will live that out. Christ in us, our new hearts. But this was not the only type of prejudice. Not only was there racial prejudice in the church, and we're talking about what's in the church, what was in the church. Paul is dealing with what was in the church. Not only was there racial prejudice in the church, but there was also religious prejudice as well. Look at the very next section, or next two words of verse 11. He says in verse 11, here there is not Greek or Jew, and then he goes on and says, circumcised and uncircumcised. Now again, we can just read over these words, or we can go, okay, what is he talking about here? What does he mean by circumcised and uncircumcised? Well, we've been in Galatians, we've been in Colossians, we've been walking through these, so we have been dealing with this type of prejudice for a long time as we study this, and this was very prevalent within the new church. And here's what is so amazing. The gospel breaks down these religious barriers. The gospel broke down these religious barriers between Jews and the Gentiles who were responding to the gospel. And this was that religious prejudice that was happening, that the gospel was beginning to break down. Ephesians 2:13-14, which is the two verses before what we just read, it says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, those Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So we see that the only way that this prejudice, this religious prejudice was broken down, he created one new man, bringing people together, and the Gentiles were once far off, but it was because of the blood of Christ, because of what Christ did on the cross. He brought them near For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of his hostility. You see, I mean, this is nothing new. This was happening right from the beginning of the New Testament church. This was a huge deal. And he, in the way Paul describes them, were walls that needed to be broken down, hostility that needed to be taken away, peace that needed to be brought. There is no room for prejudice within the church. There is no room within the body of Christ among believers. There's so much in that verse. There's no room for these barriers. Paul constantly had to write to the churches to encourage them not to fall back into legalism. This legalism which brought on these barriers, that brought on these prejudices. The Jewish believers, the Jewish Christians, and the Jewish false teachers were constantly pressuring the Gentiles to do what? To go be circumcised. To go back and follow the old covenant. And this brought about these incredibly huge religious barriers in the church. Do it the way we've always done it. If you really want to be a good Christian, do it the way we've always done it. And that's not what God called us to. I think it's interesting, even within the last 50 years, 100 years, as we have sent out missionaries from America within our denominations, I think it was interesting in many of those early years that we would send missionaries into these other parts of the world, and then the gospel would be preached, and then the gospel would be calling people, and there would be people coming to know Christ, and then they would start a church in that village. But then that church would look, and they would say, well, this is how you need to do your church, and it would look just like an American church. And we were like, why isn't this working? Why isn't this working? If we are going to put to death our old nature, then we must allow the gospel to break down these religious barriers and these prejudices. We've got to allow that to work within us, and then live it out, and then we're going to see that take place within the church. Now, hear me on this. This does not mean in the religious mindset that we must accept false teaching, okay? Understand that. That does not mean that we become universalists, like, okay, everybody gets to heaven. No. We're talking about within the church. We must stand for the truth of the gospel. We must be unified that Christ is the only way. And within that, we understand there are different cultures and different ways, but within that we must stand on the truth of the gospel. But our old nature, we struggle with racial prejudice. We also struggle with religious prejudice. But the gospel, the new life in Christ, brings destruction to those things. The third barrier that Paul discusses here is that new life in Christ brings destruction to cultural barriers. Okay, so look at verse 11. You're following along. Here there is not Greek and Jew. That was a racial prejudice. Circumcised and uncircumcised, he was dealing with those religious barriers. And then we see barbarian and Scythian. This was a cultural barrier that must be destroyed as we live out the gospel in our lives. There were strong cultural barriers within the early church, as we also see even today. The educated Jew and the educated Greek looked on with contempt at the non-educated barbarian and the nomadic Scythian. This was a huge divide. The cultural barrier brought about an attitude that somehow, because the Greek or the Jew was educated, that they were somehow better than those who were not. Now, as we look at the false teachers that were invading this church at Colossae, were the false teachers invading this church racists? Most likely, in a sense. Most likely, these false teachers that were speaking to this church, because they believed that they were on a higher plane. They thought, well, I'm better. That they were more religious, that they were more educated, that they understood something that those in the church didn't. And so that was a prejudice. And guys, we still struggle with this in the church today. We still struggle with this. And I believe it stems and comes out of that legalism that we've been talking about before. This kind of elitism of that I know more about God than you do because I'm a scholar. It comes from us thinking that we have somehow arrived in our spirituality. Well, I've grown up in the church, so I obviously know more than you do. I've studied the Bible for years. I'm a Sunday school teacher, and I have been for a long time. So I obviously have been put on a level of understanding and wisdom. I am a deacon, I'm an elder, I'm a pastor, or I'm a minister. I have a library of books, and therefore I am on a higher plane than you. Look back at verse 10 again, okay? And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after who? The image of its creator. Don't be like the Pharisees. Be like Jesus. Stop looking at other people and thinking that you're better than them. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. Lift your eyes upward to Jesus, because I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but none of us have arrived to some spiritual high plane, okay? I'm sorry. I know you guys are disappointed. But I've been in the church for so long. Yeah, I have too. 4 weeks after I was born, I was in the nursery. 4 weeks. I mean, I was soaking up stuff as a baby, you know? I'm sure they were singing songs over me and why they changed my diaper, and they were telling me Bible verses, and then boom, I moved on from that, went to Sunday school. My mom played the piano for children's church, so I was like in children's church, and then I would come into to church, and we went to a church where, you know, I was there. I was like the super elite Christians. We were there on Sunday nights. Yeah, I know. You're jealous, I know. But we went to Sunday night church. We went to Wednesday night church. I then grew up in the youth group. And, I mean, I'm telling you guys, as soon as I graduated, you know where I went? A Christian college. Yeah. Went to a Christian college for 4 years. And I started working in a church when I was a freshman. I started serving. I've been a minister for 28 years. And then later I went on to seminary. Who cares, right? I got to keep my eyes on Jesus. I got to keep my eyes on Jesus, because I struggle every day. I'm struggling to be more like Christ. And what happens if I come off of that struggling and keeping my eyes on Jesus and I start thinking I'm so great? I mean, I'm not even looking at Jesus. I'm just looking at you guys with a bunch of pride. This was a cultural barrier that the church had, that these people thought that they were better. When our religion becomes pride, it leads to prejudice. It leads to religious and cultural prejudice. We must allow the gospel to destroy this within our lives. And then finally, a fourth barrier that Paul discusses right here in verse 11 is he speaks of a social barrier. New life in Christ brings destruction to social barriers. So again, look at verse 11. We've got here in Christ. Christ is all in all. We are all unified as believers in Jesus. Here there is not a Greek and Jew. That was that racial prejudice. There's not circumcised and uncircumcised. That was that religious prejudice. There's not barbarian or Scythian. That was that cultural barrier. And then finally, slave free. You see, one of the social barriers that existed in this historical context was between slaves and freemen. Those who were not free, and it's you have to go back into history and look at what all that meant. It meant a lot of different things. Some were paying off debt because they had gotten into debt and they had to go work that off, and they became a slave. Some were brought over because they were conquered and they were slaves. And so in Christ, Paul is saying there is not slave or free. Within the church, Paul reminded Christians that the gospel destroyed this social barrier. Paul states in Galatians that there is neither slave nor free, for we are all one in Christ. Here in Colossians, Paul again states the same truth. Christ is all and in all. We still have social barriers today based on wealth, education, what part of town we live in, where we go to school, what we drive, what we wear. Here's the thing, guys. None of that matters. None of that matters in the church. As Christians, we are all one in Christ. We are all one in Christ. We must fight that. We must fight every day to keep our eyes on Jesus. We must fight every day to allow the new self, our new heart, our new identity to destroy these barriers that we struggle with and that are part of our old nature. There is no place for these man-made barriers within the church because Christ is in all believers. All are equal. The power of Christ in us, the power of the gospel lived out in our lives as believers, break down all racial, religious, cultural, and social barriers. I don't think we can have this sermon without tough questions with Pastor Chris. I really don't. I think we just have to. And the question is simple. We've got to look in within our hearts. Do any of these barriers exist in our individual lives? Do any of these barriers exist within our own church? Do you look down on anybody because you think that you're somehow better than them because of what you have, what your education is, what your job is? Do you look at people with any different type of color or where they live or where they come from within this world with any type of, I'm better? If so, we need to repent because it has no place within the church. And this is not something that's just 2020. This is something that's been thousands of years within the church. In fact, the disciples, those who walked with Jesus, were struggling with this as Christ, the gospel spread out to the Gentiles. Do any of these barriers exist in our individual lives? If so, if you have anything that says, the Holy Spirit says, yes, I struggled, and it's time to repent. If these barriers are going to be destroyed, if you're saying, how are these, how do I fight these sins of prejudice within my heart? How do I do that? Go back to verse 10. Go back to verse 10 and look at what it says. And have put on the new self. It's Christ in us as a believer. If you're truly a follower of Christ, you've been given a new self, a new heart, which is being renewed, which is a process, a daily process of being renewed in knowledge, but only looking at, we're only being renewed after the image of its creator, which is Jesus Christ. We must keep our eyes on Christ. Stop comparing ourselves and looking around. Keep your eyes on Jesus, on the image of the creator. We must continue to put to death what is earthly in us. We must continue to fight sin. We must continue to look to Jesus and reflect Christ. And we must allow the gospel to be lived out within our lives and within the church. And here's the good news. When this takes place, when this begins to take place in our hearts, we will see the gospel destroy these barriers. That doesn't mean it's going to be destroyed in all of culture where people are still sinful and they're lost, but within the church, it needs to be happening. These barriers need to be destroyed, and we will find unity within the church among believers, and we will see a radical change in our own human relationships outside the church. Here, among believers, body of Christ, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but here is Christ is all and in all. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. I love how your word is just truth, and it is for every time of history. Because your truth is truth. It is the good news. It is the gospel. It is the good news for the lost, and it is your word is just complete in how we as believers are to live out you in us. God, help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to keep in the word of God. Help us to keep coming together to worship you as the body of Christ and live out and fight and put on the new self and put off the old nature, which is a daily battle. But Lord, let us see unity within your church, within the body of Christ. Let it begin in our lives. Let it happen here at East Point. Let us be a light, a bright light that brings peace and hope and points people to Jesus, a light that shares the truth of the gospel, what true hope is. Let us spread that to this world. God, we love you. We give you all the glory because it's because of what you did for us on the cross. The blood of Christ is what has brought peace and unity within the church, brought those who were far off to you, and then unified us. Thank you for the cross. We love you, and it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.